Paul Nemesto here, conductor of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. We are thrilled to have Don Thibodeau, one of our own, be the piano soloist in George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue as a part of a concert series called American Memories. It'll also feature Howard Hanson's Romantic Symphony and Copland's Hoedown from his rodeo ballet. Join us for this exciting music on October 27th, 7 p.m. at St. John's Hall in Northfield, and on October 28th, Sunday, 3 p.m. at St. Ansgar's Church in Cannon Falls. Tickets are available at the Northfield Arts Guild online or at each performance.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, is a weekly show spotlighting the arts. And now, your host, Paula Granquist.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for joining us this morning as we wake up our imaginations and take a journey on who knows where we'll go. We're going to have a good time exploring all things about stories and creating. We are opening up, I'll call this a centering piece, and it was interesting to me that I read about so many people checking in with this piece as a way to calm themselves, bring them back, remember what's important. It's not a piece that I was familiar with, so I was very pleased. I have to thank Bob Gregory Bjorklund for bringing this to us. This is Aaron Copland's The Our Town Suite from the London Symphony Orchestra. So we'll listen to a bit of that, thinking about our town. Right, folks, that was Our Town. It is, in fact, directed by Copland, conducts Copland from the London Symphony Orchestra. That is the piece Our Town, and something that I think you should look up. It's quite a soothing piece, I would say, and it's also reflective of who we are as America. It's a really intriguing piece, so I hope that you do take the time to look that up. You know, I'm going to open, I've got this little story because I've been thinking about how we balance the acts of daily living with this gloriousness of life on earth, and how do we walk around in our world and get things done, and at the same time take in that grandeur and deeper meaning of our little place in this huge world. And I sometimes wonder if we can hold both of these aspects living in each moment. And I imagine that you can hold this in your mind a little bit. Maybe you're sipping a favorite beverage and you're around the table with family and friends. But then inevitably somebody spills on the table, asks an inappropriate question, or maybe leaves the room. And then at that moment you have to be jerked back to the tasks of cleaning up the situation. We have to have our feet on the floor and hands and hearts in this mess of life. We can't lose that. I think that's vital to survival, but we also need to be reflective of that, you know, biggerness. That's not even a word. I just made that up. The bigness of life. And so here's what I've been thinking of. Life as a slinky. And I've been thinking about a slinky as a place and maybe a way to ponder human history and human life. So I've got this idea that all human experiences are circular. All of our encounters are repeats of everyone else's encounters, that we build this energy as our circles of life come together and pull apart. And I wonder if we do or don't learn the lessons of being a centered human being on this earth, fully appreciating the ride through that circle and around that circle. And I wonder, where are we on that slinky? Maybe it was because I was writing this a little bit late that that's what I was thinking about, but that's where I went. I hope that doesn't make it harder to have a conversation, because we've got a great conversation. And because of what I believe, that our experiences with human connections that we make through art are some of the best ways that we connect. And this leads us to encounter those hands and hearts of another soul on this short journey of life. And maybe we can understand things just a little bit better. And that's what we're here for, is to hear some stories. And we do that every week on Art Zany Radio. So I want to welcome, I have a huge crowd in the studio. This is exciting. I think it's been a while since we've had this many folks in the studio, so it's going to be a big day. They are students from the performance of Our Town, opening next weekend at the Northfield High School. Next weekend is already November 2nd and 3rd, and that play runs Fridays and Saturdays for 2 weekends at 7:30, and then Sunday, November 11th, at 2 p.m., which is always a nice time to go see a show. That'll be your closing show, and that's at the Northfield High School Auditorium. Tickets are unbelievably reasonable, $6 for adults and $4 for students. And this is a big celebration because it is the 80th birthday of Our Town. Kind of blew my mind to think about that. So I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves and maybe give a little welcome and information, maybe your stage story, a little bit about your theater backgrounds, and your first encounter with Our Town. And we know usually Bob Gregory Bjorklund is here with us in the studio. He is doing another art event, so he is not able to join us. So if you have any messages for Bob in case he's listening, or he goes back and listens online at kymnradio.net, or maybe he'll listen to it tomorrow morning at 9 or download it. Let's start over here, and we'll have some introductions on Art Zany Radio.
All right. My name is Theo Ash. In Our Town, I play Mr. Webb. I am a newspaper editor who is also the father of one of the female leads, Emily Webb, who will introduce herself shortly here. I like this show a lot. I like the seriousness of the character. Usually in the past I've played a lot of big, loud, comedic roles. And this one I can kind of take a more serious, subtle approach to it, which is something that is a completely foreign thing to do for me. So this show has been really, really good and kind of eye-opening in terms of my growth as an actor.
That's a real big switch, because then sometimes with the comedy you get to, you know, have the timing and the laughs and sort of the physicality, but then to embody this you have to sort of dig a little deeper maybe?
Oh yeah, for sure. I just thinking the past few roles I've played like Scottish police officer spy, a Scottish hotel owner who's old and grumpy, a Russian ballet teacher who yells a lot, and then this I'm playing a dad who's preparing to give his daughter up in marriage and is kind of unsure of the future. So like that kind of approach, when you can't just kind of play everything for laughs and have to really kind of embrace the character, has been really interesting.
Any messages for Bob?
Bob, I'm sad you can't be here, Bob. I would have liked you to be here. But I guess my main message is that Bob has done a really, really good job kind of directing me in that kind of change. I think he's had been really good directing this show, as he is every show, but especially this one, with that kind of approach. He's really impressed me, as he always does. But this a little bit more so, and I really, really appreciate that.
Thank you, Theo, for being here. It's exciting to have you back. Yes. Let's keep going. We got a whole crew here.
Hi, my name is Harper Bechtel, and I play Emily Webb in Our Town. Again, I'm Mr. Webb's daughter. And, yeah, this play has been sort of, it's a lot more emotional than the other roles that I've done at, like, the Guild and stuff. It definitely has ups and downs, and it sort of goes through a whole range of emotion from the beginning to the end. And so that's been really challenging for me and really different, but it's been really fun, and it's been really eye-opening, too.
Mm-hmm. And anything that, about your past theater experiences, or I guess are all of you are high school students, right?
So yeah.
Anything that you want to add about theater?
I've done a lot of stuff at the Guild. I've been in, like, The Christmas Carol and Les Mis, but I've actually never worked with Bob before, so this is my first time working with Bob, so that's been really fun.
Yeah, he's... Bob, it's like you're here. We're just, you know, it feels a little different not to have you here, so we're trying to bring you into the conversation. So mm-hmm. Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And we do work together on the Arts and Culture Commission.
We do, yes.
We should mention that, so thank you for helping support the arts in lots of ways
of course.
Community.
Yeah.
And so let's swing... I don't know which microphone's easier for you to get to. Is that one okay?
Yeah.
Just make sure you're close enough so that we can hear you.
All right. My name's Piper Mooring. I play the role of the stage manager in Our Town. And it's my job in this play to sort of guide the audience through the story and explain what's going on and offer a little bit of introspection, like just different perspectives to think about as they watch the play. And so I've been in several shows at the Arts Guild with Purple Door and shows at the middle school. This is my third show at the high school. I've done The Drowsy Chaperone and The 39 Steps, which was the spring show last year.
So, yeah, thank you. And I think the stage manager is one of those really iconic roles in American theater because mm-hmm. of the way that it was written to, I imagine it was revolutionary when it premiered, Thornton Wilder in this play, of having the stage manager kind of breaks that wall a bit. Can you
mm-hmm.
talk to audience or listeners about how, you know, what that means and how that is so different?
Sure. So the fourth wall is sort of the separation between the audience and the actors on stage. So it's this suspension of reality. And this play really kind of demolishes that idea. It's like there isn't really any fourth wall anymore. I get to talk directly to the audience. And I feel like that brings the audience a lot closer into the story because... it's like they're experiencing it in the moment, and they get to see everything from a deeper perspective and from the character's perspective. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really original idea. I think that's one of the reasons why the play has such great recognition and universal appeal, too, because it sort of brings you to that place of being a part of the play
mm-hmm.
in a way that other plays, you know, are just different. And so that's something that I know especially about this play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And let's continue our introductions.
My name's Nicholas Broski, and I play the character of Dr. Gibbs, who is the doctor in the town. And I'm the dad of the groom for the other family. The Webbs and the Gibbses are the two families in the town, and the whole play kind of covers both of them. This whole experience has really been a pleasure because I've only done a couple shows. I've only been acting for about half a year now, and I think the first ever play that I did, I was Adam in an Adam and Eve, and then Eve, like a little short play, and then I was a bush. So there's a lot more character in this character that I get to play, and it's been a challenge, but it's been a lot of fun, and it's great to work with everyone, really.
Let me hear about so you said that you're just new to acting, so what was it that prompted you to say, I'm going to try out?
I think my parents when I was really young, said, like, you're really loud. I think you should be on stage. And I had kind of ignored that. I was like, maybe that's just something that they're telling me I would be good at. And then I tried it. I think some of my friends were like, hey, you should just do this. And my brother had been in the one-act plays. So I was like, okay, it can't hurt to try this. And I tried it, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, congrats on taking that leap and immersing yourself in this great production. And I'm glad to hear it's been a good experience. And let's keep going. We've got more introductions, folks. This is Art Zany Radio, and we're talking about the Northfield High School production of Our Town.
All right. Hi. My name is Grace Hillman, and I play the role of Mrs. Gibbs in Our Town, Nick's wife in the show, and George's mother. This is my seventh show acting at Northfield High School, and the eighth show I've been a part of. I directed a one act this past spring. And this is quite a different role for me that I've played most recently. I was in 39 Steps, and I was also in Drowsy Chaperone as Kitty, so that's quite the flip-flop there. I think that this show is really fun for me because I am in speech at Northfield High School and I do drama. So I have to take a play and edit it down to 10 minutes and do a serious interpretation of it. So being able to use that silence and being able to use that silence to push a feeling is really, really wonderful in this show.
And so you've been able to capture that with this character and test that a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that Bob always picks shows that challenge. He does not pick things that are easy for you to do. And Our Town certainly is. And one of the challenges of that is that it's been around a long time. This is the 80th year of it. And it would be interesting for me to hear your, you know, maybe your first connection to the play and, you know, what your impressions were of it, maybe as an audience member first, and then, or maybe not. Maybe you haven't seen it until you read the script. So I don't. Well, let's just jump in and see who wants to talk a little bit about that. Theo's going to jump in.
When I was a freshman, I read this show in like a book club in class. And I guess my main takeaway was I'd hate to have to memorize all the stage manager's lines. Because they are like two-page-long monologues. And I guess, trying to think back to freshman year, my takeaway of the show was when you just read the script, it doesn't seem that exciting until kind of like the end, and then you get there, and you're like, that's not really where you see it going, and it's rare to see a show that ends like this one does. It's really rare, and so that I remember that kind of sticking out to me, and then I kind of forgot that I read it because it's been a few years, and then Bob said it, and I'm like, where have I heard that name Our Town before, and I remembered it was the script I read freshman year, and then. And I was like, oh, now I've got to audition for that role. That
we're all glad lines. That you did. Yeah. Had anyone seen it as an audience member before?
No.
No, this is a brand new. So you were, and all of you were reading this as first. So when you first heard that it was a play that was written like in the 1930s, what did you expect? What's been different? What surprised you? What pulled you, you know, into the story to want to be in that audition?
Well, something I noticed about this show is that although it's set a long time ago, a lot of the same problems in everyday life that are in the show are in our lives. And so, like, despite the fact that it's an old show, it's still really relevant and addresses a lot of issues that we still face in 2018.
Yeah, that's surprising because, you know, you think 80 years, we must have come millions of leap years of miles away. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have, you know, I'm trying to think of computers or, you know, their cars were really different and they didn't travel as much. Yeah, let's go back.
Well, they even mention cars in the play, how like there weren't even cars
in that town.
In that town,
even though they existed in, you know, the early 20th century, they did, but they hadn't made it everywhere. It wasn't integral to their day.
Yeah.
So how does that experience shape you as you're trying to figure out your character and addressing? Gosh, what would life be like back then? What research did you do?
Well, I think it's really humbling to not have the
you know, technologies that we have now. Because especially at the end, there's lots of mention of, like, the importance of the little things. And Emily talks about all the things that she loves and she has to part with. And it's not really things that we would part with or be really sad about today, but it was really important to them at that time, and especially to her. So I've sort of had to wrap my mind around that part of it, at least.
Mm-hmm. And how about for anyone else that wants to jump in? Grace, did you have something you want to add about playing? You know, think about that world of that small town that I forget the name of the town. Why am I drawing a blank? Somebody remind me the name
Grover's Corners.
Grover's Corners. I should know that. I have. Yes, Grover's Corner.
It's very interesting because, you know, I'm playing a mother, obviously someone who is chosen to live in a smaller town. And as a person who is desperate to get out into that city life, it's making me think about the little things that are perks of living in a small town. You know, we live in Northfield, which is, you know, a fairly small town.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think about the little things like knowing all of your neighbors and being able to lean on each other for support, where me, as I'm, you know, I'm ready to go. I want to go live in the city.
Oh,
like,
gosh,
I just want,
amazing.
I'm so excited. Like, you know, thinking about, well, when I go and I live, because I'm going to the U of M next year. And so living on campus in Minneapolis, I'm not going to know all of my neighbors, and I'm not going to be able to, you know, see the milkman who comes around and know him by name. So it's making me realize how much I have in this small town and making me really appreciate what I have here, you know, growing up here and being able to have this support that I have here.
I kind of miss the milkman. Did any of you grow up with a milkman who came to
In the town that I was born in, or not born in, but grew up in Belle Plaine, they had a milkman for a while. They did.
That's cool, because I grew up with that, too, and it was, I just never imagined that it wasn't that way.
Yeah, he came to our house, but he was there. He existed.
He came to our house. We had a little box on the porch with some insulation that he would drop off. I feel like I'm dating myself, but it, you know, it was, even in the 70s, they existed, so it continued for a long time. 70s, I guess, I don't know when it ended, but, you know, I think it reminds us of that other world, but it connects us to this because it reminds us what is the same, too. Mm-hmm. You were going to jump in, Nicholas.
Yeah, this might be a little bit of a tangent, but I think a really important point about this play is that, as you said, in this small town, you know your neighbors, but this play kind of shows that maybe you don't really know them. Maybe there's something that maybe you don't appreciate them as much as you would like to. And the third act really shows that when Emily gets a chance to reflect on kind of what she liked about living,
mm-hmm.
and what's so important about living. And yeah.
I think that is a really important point, is that just, you know, being able to say, hey, hi, isn't quite knowing someone.
Mm-hmm.
that is a big difference. And, did you ask anybody who grew up in this era in preparing for your roles about what their experiences were? Has it made you tell some stories or check in with your family? No, it didn't.
No, I don't think so.
Tell us about the way that you were able to connect with your characters. And I guess we haven't, for our listeners who maybe say, you know, I've heard of this play, but I have never seen it. What should they expect is, you know, the characters and the plot line of the story? We can answer either of those ways.
I think that for this play, it's something you may have to experience more than once to completely and fully understand what is going on. Because as you're learning a show, you have to memorize the lines and you have to get the memorization down. But then once you start thinking about what you are saying and what those around you are saying and really understanding the depth of it and looking into the lines and the story, it just hits you in a different way. In the third act in particular, it's a very heavy act, you know, as most, you know, third acts can be quite heavy. But I never really thought about it before. But then people sharing their experiences of losing people they love, and I've recently lost people that I love, and just thinking about them as they move on, it's really hard, and it opens your eyes, but it creates something inside that just settles everything that you were thinking about
and struggling with.
That's a really beautiful statement, because I think the first time I saw it, I was in high school, and then I've seen it, you know, a couple other times, and so I'm excited to see it again when I'm at this age and in this mm-hmm. point in my life, and now I have kids, and I didn't, you know, that it shifts for you, and the takeaways, which speaks to the universality of the play. And that one thing was interesting that I, when I was reading about this, that it's not just performed in America, but it is performed across the world. I mean, it has a following that is truly universal. And so who wants to tell us a summary or a synopsis of what happens in the play? Where's the action, and what's the we're gonna have the stage manager jump in. That'd be good.
Well, the first act of the play sort of introduces the daily life in this town, Grover's Corners, and it introduces these two families, the Gibbses and the Webbs, and you get to see what kind of things that they do in their daily life, what kind of people they talk to, and the events that they go about. The second act gets a little bit deeper into the daily life of the characters. There's a marriage in the act, and it explores the relationship between Emily and George. And then in the third act, the heavy act that Grace was talking about, you get to see this other side of all of the characters and of the story, and you get to experience it through characters who have died. And so there's a lot of looking back at life, looking back at the experiences you've had, and reflecting on what you need to carry with you into the beyond.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we should say too, I think it's a fun play too. I mean, there's humor, and it's not all reflective, and it's very, there's a lot of action that happens with the families.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty critical point to make, because you could describe this play and just make it out to be very sad and depressing, but it's really not.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch the whole thing, it's painting this canvas of this setting, and sad things do happen, but at the end, the stage manager ends up bringing it back to just these very like simple ideas, and I don't know how to word it, but it makes everything seem normal and okay in a very like comforting way.
That's a really good description. I think that's absolutely true. And how about your characters? Maybe let's go a little deeper into the pieces of the puzzle, how your character fits into this production and what happens to them during the play. We'll start over here.
All right. So Mr. Webb, I would say, he starts out by giving a social report of the town. So he's a newspaper editor. So he starts out by, like, giving the audience a little bit of information about the, like, religious percentages. Like, he's like, it's 86% Protestant, 12% Catholic. And just kind of giving that details about the town that, like, other shows, they don't have those kinds of details about the settings. They're very, very, very specific details about where they are and kind of setting the stage there. And then later, when kind of the action starts in the play, the plot really kind of starts. He is like I've said before, a newspaper editor who is just kind of watching his daughter grow up, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he starts out, and she's probably 13 years old, 12 years old, and then he kind of sees her grow up, and then she's starting, you know, to take an interest in the neighbor, George Gibbs, and eventually they're engaged, and he's preparing to give his daughter away in marriage, and he's talking to the groom, and he's talking to Emily, and he's doing all these things, and it's just kind of like, I love the approach that he takes to it. He's very calm. He does everything he can to just kind of like calm the nerves of Emily, who gets kind of nervous about the wedding, and I'm sure that is a hard thing for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, hey, everything is going to be fine, because I mean he's nervous too. Everyone kind of is nervous about this wedding, as everyone probably ever who's been married has probably gotten nervous about a wedding.
That's true.
Yeah. So the approach that he takes to just kind of calming everyone down is very, I respect the character for doing that. It's a very good trait to have, that kind of calming feel and that ability to calm people down. And then later in the third act, he comes back in one of Emily's kind of memories, and he's super happy, and when I come out and has a past memory, she just has a huge smile on her face remembering her father and when he sees him come out, and that's an awesome feeling for me as an actor, I guess, to see that. So he's overall, I think, a really good dude, and I really, really enjoy playing Mr. Webb.
Yeah, and Emily, I called you Emily. Your character Emily is central to this storyline, and you take us through this life journey. Tell us about your experiences in trying to play that and bring that to the stage.
Well, I think her journey is sort of divided into two parts. I think it's a growing up story and a coming of age story, and then her big realization. And almost an epiphany, maybe mm-hmm. that's not the right word. But in the first two acts, she's just a sweet girl who's just living in this town, and then she sort of grows up and then gets married. And I think it's also really hard for her in the wedding to leave her father because she just loves her dad so much. And so she really has to grow up kind of quick. And even Mrs. Webb talks about that, how we send our girls off into marriage, like, really cruelly, actually, and really fast. And then at the end, she realizes, that her life was so precious to her, and she'll never get it back. But, and so no one in the living world will ever know to stop and really live their life and really love it. And I think it's really frustrating for her because she can't tell that to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like she realizes this, she sees it, and she can't tell them. She can't go back, really. She can't start over. She tries, but it doesn't go the way she wants to, because she goes back and she gets to relive a day. And after she said she really wants to live it, she wants to spend time with her mom and dad and her family, but to them it's just another normal day, and so they don't like look at each other is what they really say a lot. So that's been it's been really fun to play, because it's two very different ideas, sort of the growing up and moving on,
mm-hmm.
and then the reflection.
I think, that's an important thing, and it's something that I think the younger maybe we can teach that, the more that we can see each other and see our parents in different lights,
right.
And kind of mm-hmm. check in on the world, and I think it's a big transition. I'm trying to remember the stage manager's role and whether there's a character growth in within the stage manager. That's because that's an intriguing role, because it plays that a connector between character and audience.
Absolutely. So I think the stage manager, as I mentioned earlier, is sort of the narrator who brings the audience through the story. And I think, I have this one monologue that talks about this play, Our Town, sort of being a time capsule and allowing the audience to see what life was really like back then. And so the stage manager is using this play almost as transportation to get these messages across to the audience about life and death and the in-between and just...
I love that word that you use, transportation, of sort of being able to take us on that ride and go back, go forward, reflect, the, sort of like the compass
mm-hmm.
and all points.
Yeah. So the audience gets to see this show, and the stage manager just sort of points out some things and digs deeper on things that have been said. And it's been a really interesting role because I've never had to play anything as deep as this or as connected to the audience as this. And so it's been really challenging, but I think it's helped me grow a lot as an actor and dig deeper into this role.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch for that as I see the play again, because it does make me just ponder life in a different way, and I'm at a different stage than the last time I saw it. And you two are of the other family in the play, so what are the ways that your characters take on these events in life?
This is an interesting question, because I have struggled to pinpoint it exactly for Dr. Gibbs, because he's kind of a man of tradition. He in the play, they talk about how he goes to Antietam and all these Civil War monuments, and he finds it super fascinating, and he also is struggling to kind of find his place as a father. He doesn't necessarily know how much pressure he should put on his son in certain ways. So that is illustrated, and I think besides setting the scene, that shows that he's a man of tradition in a kind of interesting way. And it shows that, well, specifically in the third act, that really he doesn't, like the other characters, doesn't appreciate what he has in the exact way that he feels like he should. Well, because in the third act, his wife is dead, and then his daughter-in-law is dead. So, yeah, he kind of has to deal with the fact that, oh, maybe I didn't appreciate them when they were there.
Aha, so that, yeah, that's really central to what's going on, but it sounds like maybe his character isn't always cognizant of that necessarily, and it's hard to wrap around. You know, he's thinking about, you know, maybe not in the sort of applying it to his life.
Exactly. I would love to hear what Grace has to say, because that might make me
See, and I like that, because you guys are in that rehearsal process, and I bet, you know, you're now learning lines and you know, positions and practicing you know, with costumes and dialogue, but maybe this thinking about the play is happening now, right? You haven't had that time. So it's fun for me to be able to hear your ideas.
Yeah, so Mrs. Gibbs is, you know, she's a mother of two, and she loves her kids dearly. You know, she just wants them to succeed in the world and love life and just enjoy it. But of course, like, one of the most important parts about her character is that she does, you know, die. One of the first things that is said about her when she's one of the first people on stage, and the first thing the stage manager says is she died in what year? 19...
Doesn't she? She died. Just died before Doc Gibbs, so before 1930.
Yeah. So she, the first thing said about her is that she dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing that and going through and her emotions and her emotional connection, and in the first act, she, you know, she's just living her life. She goes to choir practice and she worries about other people in the town and worries like how will this story end for this person, instead of just thinking about herself. And in the second act, she's very distraught by the fact that George is getting married, because she thinks they are too young to get married and that they're not going to live because they don't know how to take care of themselves yet. She says, like, Emily won't think of such things and he'll catch his death of a cold within a week. And she just worries so much about her children. And then in the third act, she really helps Emily with her realization, saying that people don't understand and that our life in the afterlife is to forget what you lived and to be ready for what comes and just to be prepared to help others through their struggles as they come to the afterlife, which is just, she just has such a lovely soul. Mm-hmm. And she's able to accept that her son is getting married. She says herself that people are meant to live two by two, and that it's not natural to be lonesome in life, which is just so heartwarming to think about her. And she wants to travel and she wants to move on, but she loves her husband so much that she's willing to stay for him.
I think it's really amazing to hear all of you talk about this and to have your reflections on this play. I want to remind our listeners we're talking about Our Town, which is being produced at the Northfield High School. Bob Gregory Bjorklund is the director, and we're sending shout-outs to him today. Those times for the play are Fridays and Saturdays, November 2nd, 3rd, and then the second weekend, the 9th and 10th, all at 7:30 at the high school auditorium. Tickets are $6 for adults, $4 for students. And then on Sunday, November 11th, there's a special matinee, and that is the closing show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so it's a play that has that, to me, it's so brilliant to think that there was someone that existed here on this earth in, you know, early 1900s that we're connecting to, and we're processing these things, and, you know, we haven't figured this all out, and we don't really know what happens, you know, beyond, and to have that ability to come together and then maybe have some conversations afterwards. That's why art is so incredible. I'm wondering how we should close up this segment. What should we be taking from this time or this play or these characters? What do you want people to experience, or what are you hoping for audiences with this play? I think Theo looks like he's leaning in, so let's start with Theo.
I don't know. There's a reason that this show has been put on for 80 years,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's that good, I think. And I guess if I want one takeaway that audiences should have is just kind of the appreciation of how well it's written. And there are so many little things that Thornton Wilder does, like in the beginning, that sets up the end. It's really genius, I think. And so just kind of pay attention, I guess, and just to all the little things that happen in the show, and all the stage manager has some long lines, but just kind of picking up on the little details that he puts in, and that can really increase your satisfaction of watching it.
You know, I just had this weird thought that, so you can come to this play on opening night, and then you can come another night, and time will have passed and your life will have been different, and you might see it different even within the length of the performances, which is a couple of weeks.
Sure.
Whoa, that just blew my mind. Sorry. So I had to share that.
I think would be smart, because there's lots of subtleties, as Theo mentioned, that you can only pick up on if you, like, watch it and listen to it more than once, I think.
That's absolutely true. Were you going to jump in with something, Piper?
Sure. So I think one of the things I've noticed through my role is this overlying notion in the play that is that time is circular and it just moves on and on, and it doesn't end when we end. So there are just a lot of little messages in that people don't pick up on, and that's touched on a lot with Emily's character, and I point out some of those things in my monologue. So just listening for that rhythm of life and how things repeat and things overlap and between characters and between lifetimes.
Yeah. That's incredible. I really, really enjoy it. I hope people heard that and are listening to that now.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing, it's really cliche to say this, but just live. Like, that's the message. It's just like, you're here in this beautiful world, just live. And the play illustrates that extremely well.
And I don't think that now now might be the perfect time to hear that message.
Yeah.
There's not been a better time to hear that.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts for you?
There's this podcast that I listen to called Welcome to Night Vale, and there is one line in there somewhere in one of the hundreds of episodes that death is only the end if you assume the story is about you.
Ooh.
And I think that this show really represents that and really shows that you living your life, you may not think it affects anything, but your energy does move through other people and through time as we connect with these characters from back then. As we live our lives now, pretty much the same as they did, just we have, you know, cooler technology and stuff. You know, I can wear pants now.
Right, exactly. Oh, you guys are just a phenomenal group, and I'm always so excited to visit with our students who are doing performances, because I'm just blown away by your reflection, your eloquence, your storytelling, and just really enjoy our time together. And so I thank you for missing some school hours to be here and for sharing your story and experiences with our town. So I want to thank Theo Ash, Harper Bechtel, Nicholas Broski, Grace Hillman, and Piper Mooring for being here on Arts Annie Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course, we hope we'll see everybody at the show, Our Town at the High School, next weekend. Folks, and there are other things happening that I want to be able to bring you a little bit of information about things in this weekend's happenings. I've got something from Paradise Center for the Arts. You can visit paradisecenterforthearts.org. Before Netflix or the Haunting movies, there was the original, The Haunting of Hill House. The Paradise Community Theater invites you to visit Hill House for an evening of psychological thrills and terrors. The play runs October 26th through November 3rd at the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. On Saturday, November 10th, Mary Rowles returns to the Paradise stage for the annual Wine, Women, and Comedy event. Wine tasting at 6:30 with show starting at 7:30. For tickets or more information, visit paradisecenterforthearts.org or call the box office at 507-332-7372. That's an exciting event from our friends at Paradise. And last week on Arts Annie Radio, I want to remind you that I had two segments, and one of those was about the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. Paul Nemisto and Don Dreher Thibodeau joined me, and their event, the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra performance of American Memories, is happening this weekend. There's two showtimes, Saturday the 27th at 7 at St. John's Hall in Northfield, and Sunday the 28th at 3 o'clock at St. Angsgar. Sorry, folks, I always stumble on that one. That's the Lutheran Church in Cannon Falls at 3 p.m. So you can get your tickets at the door. Really beautiful music. You heard a little bit of that in the opening commercial as well. And the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters were here, and I'm so thrilled to be able to tell you about the Tom Petty Tribute Show at the Armory. This is the Armory Square Event Center. If you haven't been, it's a beautiful new space in town. That's Saturday the 27th from 7:30 to 10:30. And you can get all the information either on Facebook or at imminentbrewing.com. Doors open at 6:30. There's a suggested donation. All donations go directly to the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters. $10 gets you a raffle ticket for a shot at two pairs of prime tickets to Rock and Roll Revival 2019. It's one of those years again, so I hope that you will be sure and join all of the artists performing to celebrate arts in our community. And I want to mention, too, that now is the time for nominations of the Living Treasure Award. They're calling for nominees from the Arts and Culture Commission. This is in partnership with 50 North. All Northfields are invited to nominate individuals they feel are worthy of being considered for the Living Treasure. It honors someone who, as an individual, who has over a period of time made significant contributions to Northfield in, through, or on behalf of the arts and culture. It enhances our reputation as a city and the quality of life of its citizens. So those submissions are now being taken at the Northfield Public Library, 50 North, and also on the Northfield City website, the Living Treasure Award. The closing for nominations is November 23rd, so I'll keep reminding you about that. You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Please take some time to add some Art Zany to your life. Enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Listen for Art Zany every Friday and Saturday at 9 a.m., right here on 1080, and on our website, kymnradio.net.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.